Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realness. Beyond the title to opinions, don't get in your feelings. The further assassins, breaking it down. We bring on the next verse, scroll through our history. Here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. We're fighting voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skills and talented guests on from different places. Holla welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, it's intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. Instead of pick people's interest, going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That's just what we desire on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Been podcasting for years with the veterans. It's one of those days we could be a medicine. Listen's got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it. Say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear Real Talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the top that's really yours. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you blacks gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimize and want pity though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we address it on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics. Other shows so they dig us, but won't acknowledge it. Acknowledge if we come together, we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio. Tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio with T-Real and Bobby G. Normally, I would say tonight's topic, but it's actually daytime. It's Saturday afternoon, and, you know, just different things that was going on didn't allow us to record at our normal time of 10 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays. So here we are on a Saturday afternoon having this discussion. So today's discussion, first of all, what up to my partner in crime, Bobby G. What up, Bobby?
Hey, what's going on, Tay? How's everything with you, bro?
Everything's good, man. Everything is what the young people say, Gucci. Everything Gucci.
Yeah.
You know, everything's straight. I mean, I can sit here and complain, but it's homeless people on the streets that could complain too, a lot more than me. So, I mean, I'm straight. Let's just say I'm straight.
That's good.
And, you know, we got an interesting topic today, which is police are grossly underpaid and underappreciated. So, today on It's Real Talk Radio, we will be discussing the brave men of the blue. Let me add the brave men and women. Women too. The brave men and women of the blue. That's right, the police. As of the past 10 years, there's been tons of criticism of the Boys in Blue, as black men and women have been publicly humiliated, abused, and murdered on camera for the world to see. These actions have sparked huge outrage and protests all across the country, and rightfully so. But, what about the good cops who consistently do their jobs the right way and have never harmed anyone that wasn't necessary to harm? We can't let a few bad seeds spoil the bunch. That's why we have to have this conversation today.
Okay. Also, there's been public outcry and a chant going around called Defund the Police. Well, there's a problem with that scenario. Who are you going to call when you or one of your loved ones are in distress? Last we checked, Ghostbusters were fictional characters and the Avengers were all fighting Thanos. We all know if you take the law into your own hands and come out swinging and guns blazing, you are going to jail. So that's not the answer. It's definitely not the answer unless you're ready and willing to deal with legal repercussions. You'll be dialing 911 when you're in trouble. So how do you defund the very people you're going to be calling for help?
It's preposterous how underpaid police officers are. The average salary of a police officer in America is approximately $58,800. But the range typically falls from $54,900 and $64,000. That's around $5,000 per month before taxes. These brave men and women put their lives on the line on a daily basis to protect and serve, and this is how we compensate them? This is absolutely mind-boggling. They're already disturbingly underpaid. The least we can do is support and appreciate the good cops who represent their badge the right way.
Tonight, we are...
today. Gotta say today.
Today, we are acknowledging and celebrating these brave souls.
Yes, sir. And so with that said, let's get into it. And before we even really, really start getting down to the nitty-gritty, I just want to, you know, show some appreciation for the people that protect us and save lives every day.
Yes, sir.
I mean, because, like, it's well-earned, well-deserved. As a matter of fact, we got to give them more, man. Come on, man.
Right.
Because we have to acknowledge this because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, of course, we can't stand the bad seeds, right? And the ones who are, you know, hurting and killing people, the ones who are manipulating and the ones who rape women on the side of the road and, you know, hide behind that badge and get away with it. And sometimes they do it maybe when they're off duty. You know, do crimes, but use that badge to try to help, like, you know, shield them. Or sometimes they do crimes while they're on duty. Like, those ones, those bad seeds, we got no respect for them. no admiration, but the ones who do handle their business, you know, you got to, because it's like, as frustrating as it is to see people like, what's the guy's name that, what's that one officer's name? The one who killed George Floyd. What was his name? You remember his name?
Oh, let me pull it up.
I'll be Googling it.
Let's see. So,
officer who killed George Floyd. It's hard to remember. It happens every time you turn around. It's a different person. A different one. Oh, Derek Chauvin. I don't know.
Chauvin.
I think I was calling him Chauvin. I think it was Chauvin. I don't know if it's Chauvin or Chauvin. I don't know which one.
It's Chauvin. I think you're right. Chauvin. Chauvin. Derek Chauvin.
Yeah, I'm going to just say DC.
We are not talking about those officers. Right.
Not like that piece of trash. No.
Right.
No, not him. Not
he doesn't
them officers.
Deserve to be an officer.
We're not talking about them. We're not celebrating. Those applause and cheers weren't for that officer. But the officers who get out there in the streets every day and represent the right way, regardless of, you know, race, ethnicity, or anything, they just do the right thing. And they dread the time that they have to use their guns, but they will if they have to protect people and protect themselves. You know, we understand and respect them for that. You know what I mean? So this is homage to those officers, because if you're not like a so-called gangster, if you're not living that life of like a wannabe so-called gangster, right? If you're not like a part of the mob or a gang or something, what reason do you have to like really hate police? You might hate some of the things that the crooked bad cops do, but at the end of the day, what if somebody slapped your mother? But you're not there. You find out somebody slapped your mother, right? What you gonna do? Like, what are you really gonna do? Like, you ain't built like that. You ain't built like that to go around to find out who it is and all that stuff. It just happened. Your mother got in an argument with somebody, slapped the crap out of her to the ground. You want to just, no snitching, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. I just, hopefully I'll run into him. Like, you know, like, I don't know nothing about this person, no name, no picture, no nothing, but hopefully, you know what I mean? But maybe there's some witnesses out there that could tell the police, and then the police come, and then maybe they find out who it is, and they would you let the person that slapped your mother to get arrested, or what? Like, what do you want to do? You know what I mean? What if your child is kidnapped? What are you going to do? You going to find them on your own, like you built like that, you know? Or are you going to go through the law enforcement to help you find your child? What are you going to do if your child is missing? You know what I mean? And that's my issue with this whole, like, defund the police. I think that's stupid. It's retarded. I don't support that, not one bit. And I am a super pro-black for my people person. I don't support that, not one bit, defund the police. And
it doesn't make any sense.
The idea that all police are bad is absolutely insane. And you better start appreciating these brave men and women that sacrifice, are grossly underpaid, and put their safety, their health, and their lives on the line every time they step out there to the streets. Because what you going to do the day that people decide, all the officers decide, you know what, we boycott and none of us, we're not going in. It's a nationwide police boycott. We're not going in. So I don't know who you're going to call 911, but we ain't coming because we ain't going to be there. What you going to do then? Do you understand what's going to happen in the streets? Like, you understand there's going to be open season. People will be robbing, raping, killing. Open season. The thing that stops the evil in this world from spiraling too much out of control is the repercussions of going to jail, possibly being shot by an officer who encounters them. So if they're not there to do that, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Like, which side do you want, good or evil? if you say you represent the side of good, then you're not out there causing pandemonium. You're a law-abiding citizen. So what are you going to do when these predators, like, come out? You know what I mean?
Right.
When they come out. You know, people rob people. People rape people. You know what I mean? How's your daughters, your sisters, your aunts going to be protected without the police? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So we got to get out of this whole thing of, like, F the police, you know what I mean, and all that. Yes, F the ones who are bad. But that's a few bad seeds, you know. So exclude them. You got to say F officer such and such, not F the police. F officer such and such. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, F the officer that did this to my friend or did this to this unarmed black man or something. Yes, F that particular officer, you know what I mean? The particular officer or officers who break the law, whether they get away with it or not or found guilty or not, you know right is right and wrong is wrong, so F them. But the rest of them, you can't, you know, put that on them because they'll be the ones that save your lives, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, you can't, basically, you can't stereotype all police officers, put them all in one basket like what they, like what some people do with black folks, you know, and even other categories, you know, in all other categories, like, you know, you can't stereotype. So you gotta, like you said, you gotta, there's good and bad in everything. So, yeah, there are some bad people who do bad things that are black. And there's a lot of people in any race, first of all, there's good and bad. So you can't just say black people are bad. Black people may steal your pocketbook. You know, black people rob you. Black people sell drugs to you. So the same thing with the police officers. Not all officers are trying to put a knee on a black man's neck and choke him to death. No, not all officers are trying to put you in a chokehold and choke you to death with their arms. But not all police officers are going to just violate your rights and gun you down because they have the because they can and get away with it. So not all, you know, those are the ones that we have an issue with. But we do not have an issue with officers that are doing their job, doing everything by the book, and going home at the end of the night. And yeah, you get some of those guys, those officers who wind up in situations and stuff too, you know, meaning getting hurt, shot, or whatever. But, you know, things happen. You know, that's a tough job. And so that's another reason why. First of all, I feel that they actually need to get paid. They're definitely underpaid. What they do.
Can we really talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting paid, what, like you said earlier, what, $58,000 to maybe like mid-60s to, you know what I mean, to go around and...
Yeah, depending on your state, that was like an average based on, based on a Google search. Most are definitely making under $100,000, you know. You probably got some in some of the richer jurisdictions that might be making close to $100,000. And the people that are, the ones that are making over $100,000 are probably higher ups. Like, they're probably, you know, beyond just a patrol officer. You know what I mean? For the most part. I don't know if there are any patrol officers making $100K, but if it is, I don't think it's many.
Facts. But yeah.
And once you're like lieutenant and sergeant and all that stuff, and you hire a chief and all that stuff, now you probably crossing 100K. But, you know, of course, the patrol officers are the ones that are called to the scene first. They're the ones that's running into bullets. You know, somebody's robbing a bank, coming out guns blazing. The patrol officers, the first one on the scene, and their lives are at risk at all times.
Right. Yes, sir.
Why are they making under 100K? Like, I don't... Go ahead, Bobby. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, totally. This is why... This is exactly why we feel that officers should be making way more money than what they're making. And then to talk about defunding them, if you first man, in New York, like, you know, there's mandates in New York, and like 9,000 city workers left their jobs because they didn't want to take the vaccination. 9,000 workers, not just police, it was some were, I don't know how many were police officers and firemen and other city workers, civil service workers, but in total it was 9,000 because they didn't want it. So that alone wiped out X amount of police officers. Because for not
how many, now, how many officers, Bobby? How many?
Let me find out how many officers left. Because 9,000 civil service workers in total from different positions, like, you know, firemen, police, sanitation workers.
Oh, you mean like first responders in general, fire department and all that.
First responders and sanitation and other city employees.
Oh, okay.
A mixture, yeah, right. Oh, it wasn't, yeah. But I don't know how many were in New York City were police officers, but I can find that out. I can Google it. But, yeah, so those people already left because, it, you know, they resigned. Some people went to take jobs in other counties. Like, if you, like, in the five boroughs of New York City, that's where it was happening at. But back to the suburbs, like Long Island and, like, Westchester, where there's right now no mandate. A lot of people went to those places to find jobs. You know, have to go a little further out to go to work, but no mandate for you to get the vaccination. So a lot of them left. Some people just left. Some people just retired. People who had their years but just retired, they just left. Or people, you know, who had was able to retire, even if they didn't have the total years, some people retired and left the job because they just, some people were just tired of the, they not the fact that they didn't want to get the vaccination, but some people just didn't want to feel like, didn't like being told what to do. They didn't like the mandate, like the threatening of, like, get do this or else, you know, do this or lose your job or go to work and get.
Like Kyrie Irving, right? Like Kyrie Irving is a prime example of that, right?
Right.
Right.
Prime example.
Yeah, take this vaccine or you can't play basketball. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just not going to play basketball until we figure out something.
Right.
So,
but now they're trying to trade them to,
people to
take
the vaccine.
To the right. See, now some states, they don't have the mandate, so you can play. So they want to trade them now to the Pelicans so that, you know, he can possibly
play. He's not
going
to go to the Pelicans. He's not going. He's not gonna go from a championship potential team to a team
like
that doesn't really stand a chance of. Nah,
I can't see either, but that's the talk right now with him going to play with Zion Williamson. But the thing about Zion,
I don't know how much of control he has of that. But what I heard was that come January when the new head takes over in New York, that they're gonna lift that mandate, the assumption or word on the street
that was the talk
is that,
yeah,
like
that
the new
the
mayor
talk.
Is gonna lift that and those mandates, and then Kyrie will be able to play with no issues. And I don't think I don't know the Brooklyn Nets fan. I can't see why, because if they was gonna trade them, you would think they would have already shot them around and did it already now, like. But you see they haven't done it, so it sounds to me like that whole thing about them waiting until January when the mandate get lifted, that sounds more like a realistic scenario than him being traded to me. But the whole idea of sacrificing, like, valuable, because like, Kyrie Irving, that's one thing, that's basketball, we love basketball, but it's not nearly as important as, like, first responders,
right.
Law enforcement,
right.
People that – they have very important jobs, and you're just going to force them to take a vaccine that they might not want to take. Let them decide for themselves. And we definitely need the firefighters, we need the police, Absolutely. That's one thing that's keeping this country, like, together. Like, that's one thing that's keeping it from turning into, like, a huge disaster. Like, can you imagine this country with no police? Any country, but this country in particular, with the amount of evil, with the population that we have, and the amount of evil.
Right. It would be every man.
Nobody would be safe. No man, woman, or child would be safe without the police. You better figure out something. But vaccine mandate for a lot, you can't make that a mandate for police because there's already not enough of them. It's not enough.
There you go. Right.
It's not enough. We need more police.
And we just lost more. Right, and we, in New York City, they lost more because of that mandate. A lot of them walked off the job and left. So, you know, and that's not even talking about defunding. Now, what happens with the rest of the guys, and they go ahead and defund them? That's going to make more officers want to leave, be like, later for this, I'm out.
Of course.
We're not going to be here protecting and serving, you know, the city. You know, and trying to keep the crime rate down, and you taking my money from me, and taking hours.
Already they're already understaffed, underpaid, and you're going to try to fund. That's going to take away potential. So they need more. Man, listen, I love entertainment and stuff, but if you think about it realistically, entertainment should not make more than police. Because entertainers, that's what they are. They're entertainment. They're not saving no lives. Maybe some who give off a positive message might save some lives in hindsight. But I'm just saying, like, they're not really technically out there saving lives like how, like, police and firefighters and stuff do, right? Like, the ones who are putting it all on the line, they should be wealthy people. Now, I think they should be millionaires, but that's, of course, that's unrealistic because of the amount of offices that there are, the budget of the country or whatever is, I guess, not enough to be able to pay all the different law enforcement offices that much. But I think they should be millionaires, but let me try to be a little more realistic. Okay, I think they should all make, like, $250,000 starting, like $250,000 just starting alone. Just starting alone, $250,000. Like, well into the six figures. You know what I mean? Like, this should not, because you have to think about it. All right, 50, 60, 70, whatever. That's not a lot of money considering you putting your life on the line. Because you got managers at jobs and corporations and companies and stuff that make that. Just regular, not even high level. You got supervisors, managers that make that. And that's considered good money, but that's not good money if you're putting your life on the line. That's not good money if you're having to run into bullets blazing. If you got to encounter somebody that's robbing a bank or some dope dealers to say they're not going to jail today, that's not good money considering that stuff that you got to deal with as a law enforcement officer, crazy people, psychos, people that just don't care no more. No, like you should not have to worry about what's my family going to do if I pass away. If you got a job that requires you to encounter people who are willing to take your life, you could deal with that at any time or any given day. You have to worry about, well, I just got to have a huge insurance policy because the money, amount of money I'm making is not going to be enough for them to survive off of for the next 10 years while I'm gone or something. Like, they should be making, I think if they say, we're passing a new law, every patrol officer starts off at $250,000 and you can work your way up to have whatever is the most realistic, but you know what I mean? Can actually be done. You know what I mean? Whatever they can pay, that's the biggest amount that's the most feasible or realistic. Like $250,000 to $500,000. You know what I mean? Just as a patrol officer alone. And then the higher levels, you can get even more. Like, you could be a millionaire just from being a police officer. Like, just getting up the ladder. Like, that should be very realistic. I mean, teachers too. The teachers are, we could do a whole separate discussion on that. Teachers are important to the society as far as like
very
teaching the kids and pushing the society forward. They're grossly underpaid. But right now we're talking about police, the ones who are risking their lives. They should be very wealthy. They should be protected. You know what I mean? They should, you know, they should be. How do you say they're, and I don't understand because like you have these discussions and you got, you know, you might have these people to stand on this side, these people to stand on this side, like, oh, we're pro-police, you know, Blue Lives Matter. I don't stand for that. That's an insult to what really is happening to black people. That's not cool. Even though I'm pro-police, I am not on no Blue Lives Matter. That's a high insult to my people.
You mean her?
That's like fighting words.
Real
that's saying
lives
you want Smith. That's fighting words.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's fighting words because you're saying that you're making a mockery of every innocent person that died by the hands of a crooked police officer. So, no, we ain't on no Blue Lives Matter time.
Oh, Blue
you know
Lives
I mean?
Matter. Okay.
Blue. Yeah, we're not on no Blue Lives Matter time because that's a slap in the face. Just making a mockery, you know.
Right.
Of our people, but we do represent for every person that goes out there and represents. You know what I mean? Because you got people on different sides of the spectrum that's arguing about what's right and what's wrong. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, it really comes down to. It does come down to what's right and what's wrong because some law enforcement officers are definitely in the wrong. But at the end of the day, if you really care about the police and stuff, you should want for all these little Blue Lives Matter conservative people that want to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you should want them to be paid more. Like, that should be more of the conversation. Paying more people will want to do it. More people will want to be law enforcement officers if the job is a little worth more. Like, you know, if you're going to pay me more, I'm going to get paid four times the amount that the normal. So right now, to be a police officer right now, you pretty much have to say, I'm doing this out of shared passion for protecting the people because I love my country or because I love my community. I want to protect innocent people. You can't even say I want to make a career out of this and be able to help people, but at the same time make a good money because it's not good money considering what you deal with. You know what I mean? So if you really are pro-police, and forget that Blue Lives Matter. That's corny, and it's a mockery. Like I said, that's fighting words. You know what I mean? No, you should be wanting them to get paid more to make the job more worth it because we should have, you know, anybody who is a member of this country, regardless of race or ethnicity, we should have more people doing it and more people would want to do it if, you know, first of all, well, the pay, but then on top of that, you want justice. So if you see all the crooked cops really going – kill that blue wall of silence. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm testifying against that officer because he did wrong. He killed somebody in cold blood, and I don't stand for that. And if there was no repercussions for that, there was no blue wall of silence. It was like nobody would have to fear retaliation in their career for standing for what's right. And at the same time, they make great money, $200K on up, $250 on up. Do you understand how many more people would want to be law enforcement officers? Could you imagine how many more people would say, I want to do that. I can make a great career out of this. I can make good money. My kids and my family will be taken care of. You know what I mean? And the same goes for the military, but again, that's a whole different discussion. The military, they should never, somebody would y'all want to, oh, you stand for the flag in this country that we stole from the natives, right? You want to be all patriotic and stuff, but you should want the military, the people who go fight for the country, you should want them to be wealthy people who never have to work again a day in their lives when they come home. And, you know, you got military that come home and it's homeless. Military that come home and whatever money they do get ain't enough. You know what I mean? They come home with missing limbs and stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
They should be rich. They should be rich. Like, you know what I mean? If you want to be patriotic, they should all be millionaires. They shouldn't have nothing to worry about.
And they should never be homeless.
They should have nothing to worry about at all. It's really that simple. So it makes you wonder, like, what is it the reason why they underpay the military and why they underpay police and stuff? Like, do y'all really want people to have more police, more military personnel? Do you really want to have more teachers and stuff? Do you really want to have more of the people that are the glue to the country? Like, you want to, it's a very simple thing. Pay them more. And as far as the police, people would appreciate them more if justice was served the right way and people cover ups and people weren't exonerated for killing innocent people and stuff like that. It's that simple. And you go and look and you're like, wow, we got 5 million more police officers. You know, we got 10 million more military personnel. Everybody wants to be a police or a military now if they're in physical condition and brave enough. They all want to do it now because they're getting paid and justice is being served the right way. What you think about that, Bobby?
Oh, everything you just said. Like, it was some things I was about to mention, and you already said it. Like, you was talking about how, you know, the police officers shouldn't have that blue wall of silence. They should basically hold each other accountable and also hold themselves accountable. Like, if a police officer, like, look at Derek Chauvin. Those other officers did absolutely nothing, but they just tried to hold people back and support what he did. No one said, no, Derek, no, that's not right. Get off his neck. Nobody did that. If they would have did that and it was on camera, they would have shown that there were no blue wall of silence. They just allowed him to do what he did and said absolutely nothing and did absolutely nothing. You got to stop. These good officers, and see, that goes to show that they wasn't good. Good officers would have said, no, you can't do this. This is not right. This is against the law. You're breaking the law by putting your knee on this man's neck for 9 minutes. That's breaking the law. He would have did it for 1 minute. They should have stopped him. Or a few seconds. Or as soon as they saw him do it, they should have said, oh, no, get your knee off his neck. Like, a good cop would have did that. But those cops, obviously, they need to do time as well because they was supporting that. They were, like, basically accessories of the crime. So, they should be doing some type of time as well. You know, that was not cool. But back to the good officers, yeah, I totally agree. Another thing is this. If they was getting paid correctly, they wouldn't be as many crooked cops out there who's taking drug dealers' money and stuff. And, you know what I mean? They were busting drug dealers and taking their money and keeping it, you know, and putting it away for their kids' college funds and things like that. You know, because there's a lot of officers doing that, and it's just facts. You know what I mean? They're doing a lot of – they're using that badge to get drug money, a lot of crooked stuff, a lot of stuff that they don't talk about. And their fellow partners, you know, like I said, once again, have that wall of silence. But they're not speaking on it. They're allowing the fellow officers to break the law. Now, like I said, once again, we are talking about the good officers, but we know that stuff goes on in the force too, and that's probably because of they pay the salary. If they was making a good amount of money, I really don't think a lot of that stuff would be happening. So far as taking drug dealers' money, because they would have the money to make their investments and stuff, or at least not as much. They would have the money to live a lot better. If they was making a minimum of $250K, they would be able to get houses and cars and put money away for the college kids, college funds and all that ASAP. You know, it wouldn't be an issue at all. So, yeah, I agree with a lot of things you were saying. And that's why they should get paid more money because, you know, she definitely get paid more money because 50-plus thousand, depending on what they make, anything under 100,000 is, like, ludicrous. You know, that's just crazy. They shouldn't, for what they do, go out and put their lives on the line every time they step out there and start their shift. You know, you got officers that are about to retire. You got officers that are about to retire in a year or a couple of months and get gunned down, you know, just before retirement. You know, they like, yeah, I'm about to go up the force, get my pension and all that stuff, and bang. You know what I'm saying? Boom, taken out over something to really be done. You know? And yeah, a lot of us have issues with the officers because of what those specific officers did to someone of color, you know, or minorities or female or, you know, women getting gunned down in their bedroom or something like that, you know. And rest in peace to all the victims of police violence that was crimes
for sure.
That were, yeah, crimes that were done, you know, unlawfully. So, but like I said, once again, those are the few officers that we are not acknowledging. We are not acknowledging them today. We are acknowledging the officers who do their job accordingly, day in and day out. And the officers that hold themselves and other officers accountable, that's not hiding behind the wall of silence. If they see an officer do something wrong, they report them. Or they first warn them, listen, you can't do that. Or you see, if I see you do it again or something, I'm going to report you, you know, to the captain or whatever, you know what I mean? So those officers are the ones who we have nothing but the utmost respect for, and these are the guys who deserve to get the minimum of $250,000 to start. You know, these are the guys who you're talking about. They deserve to get paid. Don't defund them. Pay them. Don't defund them. You got to fund them some more funds. Give them some more funds. You know? Now, the ones that are, once someone is getting, an officer is making that type of, if an officer is making that fund and he does something criminal, then yeah, he make sure he pays for that. You know, kick him off the force or even put him in jail like anybody else. Like, but they should not be above the law just because they enforce the law. They should not be above the law. So make sure that these guys are held accountable. If everyone just held accountable for their actions, then a lot of the stuff that happens won't happen. These officers that are doing all this stuff, they know that they would know that if they do this crime out of hatred or racism, and they, you know, a lot of these guys live in the suburbs and they work in the urban areas where a lot of the, you know, people that, you know, maybe the poor or the underachievers, whatever you want to call them, live, and they don't like them. So they come over there and violate them, and then after the end of the day, a lot of them go back to their nice, quiet neighborhood, suburban area, and, you know, live their lives. So, but, yeah, which isn't cool. So those are the guys that definitely, you know, need to pay. They need to pay, and, yeah, but those are like, once again, these are not the guys that we are talking about today. We are talking about the good officers. Once again, you know, hey, you guys, I definitely have nothing but the utmost respect for you guys, and you deserve it. Like, if somebody is doing, if my member of my family, tried to rob them or something, and I'm not there, I can call the police And my family going to tell me the location where they are, and I can call the police and have them on the scene in a couple of minutes to find out, to possibly locate and get the culprit, get the person who did whatever. So this is why we need them. Like, you know, I may be in another city, another borough, but I get a call, hey, somebody just, you know, found me, took my wallet or whatever, my phone or whatever the case may be. I was like, oh, okay, where were you? What's your location? Tell me your location. I'll call you right back. Well, stay on the line, three ways, so that you can actually talk to the people yourself. And say, yeah, I just had a client, you know, my so-and-so just got, you know, robbed or whatever, you know, and they can, then my family member can talk to the police about what happened and describe, you know, in detail, so they can have an idea of who to look for. So, yeah, and this is something that can be done within a few minutes, you know. So, as long as providing that, you know, my family member have their phone, one of them or something, you know, where they can contact me and I can, you know. So, these are things that we, you know, can utilize to get stuff done, to get things done so far as, like, you know, situations like that. You know, we don't wish that to happen to no one, but it's there, you know, it's there for us. It's there, that system for us to call 911 is very important, you know, it's very important for us. You know, you could be walking outside, right? You could be walking down the street, and you could see some guys who you know they're up to no good. You know they're looking for something, for some trouble. Like, you could see it, like, you could sense it. Like, these guys, you know, they're looking, staring a little bit too hard. Like, it looks like they're going to try to, they're checking. But then all of a sudden, boom, a police officer rolls by, and they see everything, and they're watching. And, you know, they happen to just start looking and paying attention because, you know, everything's looking a little suspicious. And then you're able to go by without problem, and nothing happens because the police came and did nothing, but they just made sure that nothing happened. They was watching because they didn't look too right, you know. So, you know, so those are things that, little things like that is why they're needed out there. And they do need to be seen out there. And they need to be seen in public, like, you know, let them, people know, listen, we're out here. It's going to happen. We're going to be on the scene. So,
yeah,
you know.
Right. You need a bigger police presence, right? Like, I don't know how it is in New York. New York is huge. Like, Baltimore is just so small compared to New York, and especially as far as population. But I can tell you this. In, like, the 90s and the early 2000s, there was way more of a police presence. I don't know what's going on now, but when you ride through the neighborhoods and stuff, the same neighborhoods that's active, that have active, like, drug activity, gang activity, and just trouble, like, you don't see police like you used to. And I'm thinking this for a number of reasons, but I know they're understaffed because I just recently had my car broken into, you know? And so, you know, I'm like, you know, it's not like a dire situation, but there's somebody stole my stuff. Like, stole stuff out of my car. I need to report this and need to see, like, you know, maybe there was a camera in the area, because, you know, they be having the cameras on, like, the light poles and stuff. I don't know if they do that in New York, but in Beaumont, they got, like, they be having cameras at certain light, like the light poles and stuff. They be having the cameras attached to it. Sometimes at the red lights and stuff, they have cameras and all that stuff. And it's like, hey, somebody's breaking into people's cars in this area. You just find out who it is and, you know, put a stop to it before, you know, somebody, like, really steals somebody's whole check, or somebody might leave something important in their car, or you just don't know. Like, you can't have, like, that happening in your neighborhood. But it was like, of course, they, you know, never come, had to call them the next day. They didn't come out. They just, like, did, like, a little phone interview thing. And I understand, like, I wasn't really, like, angry about that because I understand, like, the police are needed for real dire situations as far as, like, street crimes and stuff. But I just would have liked if there had been a little more, still some more seriousness about the situation, because it's like, well, you know, how many people is this person going to do this to? And they might go for, they're getting away with it. There's no police presence. So the fact that they're seeing the police come out when this stuff happens, or, you know, like, it would do something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, we need more of a police presence. You know what I mean? What if that was my paycheck that I had? And some people, let's just be real. See, I'm not foolish enough to do that, but some people will, like, leave, like, I got paid today. I'm going to go cash this later. Or some people leave very valuable stuff for, like, something that's valuable in their car. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
You can't have that happen. Like, you have to make sure that the citizens, the law-abiding citizens, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not a gangster. I'm pro-black and all that, but I'm not a gangster. I'm not none of them. Law-abiding citizen. You have to make sure the people feel protected. And if somebody calls you and say, my car was broken into, and you don't take it serious, it's like, because I was like, y'all not going to understand, like, short staff and stuff. That's unfortunate. But y'all not, like, that's it. Like, you just y'all going to write it down. That's it. Like, nothing else happens. You can just tell from the nature of the conversation. It's, like, so, like, not taken serious. And I'm like, dang. It starts with that, but it leads to bigger stuff because people are getting away with that. Next thing you know, they're going into people's houses and stuff. Breaking the cars. There's no police around here, no police presence. They will start breaking the houses and stuff. And, you know, before you know it, home invasions is happening because, let me tell you, man, I've woken up before and somebody was in my house and I didn't know. And that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. So you have to start at the low-level crimes and nip it in the bud ASAP. You have to be able to make a presence felt and people feel like, as you know, it's probably a damn crackhead or some teen or something that's out there stealing and stuff for whatever reason. No, you know, daddy issues and nobody there to discipline them or they don't have nothing or whatever. You know what I mean? You have to nip it in the bud at the lowest levels before it graduates to bigger and worse. And I can tell you, in the area that it happened in, there is no police presence no more. Like, I might see a police car ride through there like 2-3 times a week. A week. Mm-hmm. And it didn't used to be like that back in the day. It's a prime example of, like, where, like, you know, law, police presence and the lack of it. If there were more people that respected the police, you know, I mean, you know what little kids, 5, 6, 7 year olds saying, F the police, I don't respect the police. They're starting young now. You know what I mean? But they're getting, and part of it is people have to stop programming that into to their children's minds. Like, I would never tell my child, don't respect the police, F the police, and all of that stuff. I tell them, always respect authority. You know what I mean? It could cause you your life, especially if you're black. You got to respect authority. And that's just the way life works, especially in America. You have to respect authority. You don't have to tolerate disrespect and stuff, but you have to have some type of established respect for authority. You just, you know, you have to. But we need more police officers. We need a bigger police presence. I don't care. Lower-level crimes, everything. You know what I mean? Somebody make a threat.
Yes,
you know what I mean? The police should be out there. It shouldn't be like, oh, well, they make a threat. Well, file a protective order, see what happens. No, because you have people, when stuff like that happens, you go look, and that person get hurt or killed, and it's like, damn, they should have took it more serious. This is a whole bunch of stuff. I could be all day talking about different scenarios, but it's like, damn, if we would have, more would have happened right there, but they need a bigger police project, and the police is only going, they're going to do, well, sometimes the police will just, you got some police that's lazy. It's like, it's not even worth the paperwork. But then, at the same time, most police do their job the right way, but they only can do what the law allows them to, and the laws definitely need to be definitely 100% favorable and comforting to the law-abiding citizens who have to live about. You know, we got to go to the stores. You know what I mean? We're the economy. The law-abiding citizens are the economy. You know what I mean? They're the ones that go to the stores and buy stuff. The real lazy, knucklehead, drug dealers and criminals, they send their girlfriends and other people to do stuff. Like they're not really part of the economy. I mean, they got to eat and stuff too, but they send other people to do, like, they don't see no
right.
gangsters who want to be gangsters shopping at Walmart and the grocery store. They send
right.
their baby mothers and girlfriends and wives and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff to do that stuff. You know what I mean? The law-abiding citizens are
the
ones that have the economy going. Protect them. Make sure they're good. I don't care if it don't seem like a big deal. It is a big deal. Like, get it done. Get it on it before it gets out of control. But we still need a higher police presence. So we need more people to respect the police. In order for people to respect the police, we can't have people that's the ones that's hurting and killing people and getting away with it, making people not have respect for it, making less, each generation less and less want to be police. Because there's more and more not disrespect, but more and more, like, you know, lack of admiration for the police because of the we see the evil that's being publicized of what some of them do. And now you got a whole generation of people, of kids that would have had respect, and a lot of them probably would have wanted to be police. I don't want to be no police. F the police. They killed my uncle. They killed my cousin. They, you know, they put my grandfather in jail when he was innocent, and I ain't having him in my life. Like, you got a lot of that stuff going on, you know what I mean? And people don't have respect, and I think that's why there's a lack of them. They're undermanned, you know, they're underappreciated, and that needs to change. In order for that to change, some of the things we're talking about, like pay them more, but hold them more accountable. You pay them more, but you hold them more accountable. There's a huge
right.
Consequence to breaking the laws of law enforcement officers. We're paying you $250,000
right.
starting. So even if you kill somebody, you're going to jail. The same, you're getting the same sentence that any person walking the street would get. Even if you hurt somebody, you're going to jail, you're losing your job, you're going to have to pay restitution. Like, you're going to suffer severe consequences. But at the same time, as long as you do your job the right way, you're supposed to do, you have nothing to worry about. You are protected as long as you do what you're supposed to do. And we're going to make sure you got all the manpower you need, the resources you need, and we're going to make sure that we protect you as much as possible and that you can live, you know, great. Like, you can take care of your family and be straight. You know what I mean?
Sir.
I asked them, Bobby. I was like, look, this is what I said. I said, what if, like, I see y'all not taking this serious that, you know, I had some money get stolen, you know what I mean? I had money stolen, and I had some property stolen out of my car, you know what I mean? Now, like I said, I don't leave my wallet in my car, so they didn't get my wallet, but they did get some money, right? But I don't leave, you know what I mean, like, no, and I'm not doing it no more. I learned my lesson. You're not going to find no money in my car no more. But I did have a little bit of money in there, right? I'm like, all right. I'm like, damn, they got away with it, but damn, I forgot my point. I had it, but I thought I was talking a little too much. It didn't slip, but it's like they didn't take it serious, and it's like, man, that's just, I don't know, this just shouldn't happen. Like, you have to be able to feel like, you know what I mean, the police got your back, and we got it, you know what I mean? And
right.
you ain't have to worry about this stuff happening.
Came out and, yeah, someone would have came out and back in the days and, like, wrote down what happened and, okay, you know, we're, check, you know, at least, look, check the car for fingerprints. Try to see if you can find out.
Hold on, Bobby, I know what it was. I asked them, I know what I lost. I was asked them, like, because I'm going to hurry up. I need to talk to you. I don't want to lose it again.
Right,
it was. I said, what if they got my they got not my wallet, but they got some money from me and they stole some property, right? And when I got in my car, I seen how it was ransacked. Like, they just, you know, so you look at somebody's car, you ain't got time to put everything back the way it was. First thing I noticed, the glove compartment open, obviously, right? Obviously,
right.
your glove compartment trick. Of course, that's the first place any criminal going to look. You can tell they ransacked that it was daytime, it was still light outside, so they did it real quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, what if, I said, so what if I caught them doing it? They're like, yeah, what if I catch them doing it? I asked the officer straight up, what if I caught, literally right before somebody broke into my car, what should I do? They said, call us. I said, y'all not taking this serious, though. Y'all not taking the serious, though. Mm-hmm. So what? By the time y'all get here, they're going to be gone. You know what I mean? Like, what rights do I have as a citizen to protect my property? I guess if I shoot them, I'm going to go to jail. But I mean, you ask yourself that. Is that, I don't know. Do you think if somebody, if you, somebody's putting in somebody's car and they shoot them, is it justified? What you think, Bobby? You're, not with the law, but your personal opinion. What you think? If somebody's putting in somebody's car, do you think they're justified?
My personal opinion is somebody's breaking it, and that's your property. That's like breaking in your house. It's, I mean, not, it's not breaking in your house, but it's, that's still your property. You should have the, you should, I'm not, you know, I think it might be a little harsh that you have the right to shoot him, but you should at least be able to detain him. You should at least be able to or harm him or, you know.
Well, how do you do that? Because they got a weapon on them. Like, all right, so if you approach them, they're criminals. Most criminals will have some type of weapon. They understand a lot there, and they got a knife, they got a shank. They might have a gun, but more likely they're a crackhead or a low-level criminal. They probably have some type of weapon. I'm like, if you're a person, that's a brave thing to do because you don't know what they're capable of. But do you just stand there and let them do it and just say, I'm going to just wait for the police and just stand there on the phone like, hey, somebody's breaking into my car right now. You go over there like, hey, get out my car. Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Now, I don't know.
Yeah,
like you said, shooting might be,
might be
a little.
It's hard,
it might be a harsh penalty considering the circumstances. But I'm saying, if that's your first reaction, right? Like, first of all, the gun laws in Maryland are crazy. So if you shoot somebody in Maryland, you almost like, you, it has to be extremely like they broke into your house. They were coming towards you, like that type of stuff, right? And, you know, any, like, you know, most of the states like Maryland, New York, it seems to be like any, like, blue states, like Democratic states, is like strict gun laws. That's one of the consequences of being
right.
in a Democratic state. It, but it's also
it's
a,
like,
a kind of a
it's like
consequence and a purpose, too. Because then
right.
when the gun laws are too loose, then you still, it still can work against you. But it's like the gun laws
right.
are strict.
Even if
I almost know. Yeah, I almost know. If somebody's breaking into my property, my garage, or something, and I shoot them, I know I'm more than likely going to jail in Maryland. Then
oh,
it's like,
all right,
if the, a criminal breaks in, you catch a criminal come like in your car, right? It's like, do you have a right to even approach them? But they're like, call us. I'm like, I understand you're saying call y'all. By the time y'all get there, they're going to be gone. But then when we report this stuff that my stuff is stolen, y'all don't even take it serious. And I understand you're under madness stuff, but still, that's still my stuff. What if
mm-hmm.
I was like, what if I had something in there that was like of value? What if I was like, what if I was not even enough to leave a paycheck in there, and that paycheck was how I was going to pay my rent or anything? I'm just saying, like, are you saying don't approach them, wait for us, but we're not going to take it serious. And if you try to, if you hurt them, they're going to lock you up. Like, it's crazy.
It's
crazy.
There you go. That's
it's crazy.
What? It's like you. It's like we have no right to. It's kind of like we have no right. Like you can't do nothing about that. Just let them take. So watch them take your stuff, leave, and then call the police, or put out your cell phone, video camera, and get video and send it.
Yeah, I guess that's the best thing you can do. Put out your cell phone, then that's you got footage, evidence. But when you, I'm trying to tell you this. Now, see how you feel about this, Bobby. When you're in the moment. You don't have time, most of the time, to think, oh, let me stop and go Facebook Live and pull on my...
Right.
You're going to react. You're going to react because this is a serious situation. And if you go over there and that person, like, you don't know how it's going to go. The natural instinct is to protect yours. So you see them on your property, you're going to go approach, say, hey, get out of there and try to chase them or even try to apprehend them, whatever. You might literally get into a physical confrontation with them. But guess what? If you go over there and attack them and they stab you up, did you know they would have a legit case for self-defense? if you attack them, you punch them, and you grab them, and you try to hold them down to the ground, and they stab you up, you know that they might have a legit self-defense case.
That's crazy.
You know that? If you're dead or hurt real bad or dead, and they might get off self-defense. It's crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
This is...
They can take your stuff. They can go breaking your stuff. And when you attack them, you know, if you attack them, you can go.
Oh, if you attack them first, then they might consume you.
They might consume you.
They
can. No, Mike, they can sue you if you attack them. That happens.
Yeah, if you hurt them, like you go there, you beat them up real bad and then hold them down till the police get there or whatever, or beat them up and then they run off, they could, yeah. That's crazy. Now you got a lawsuit. That's crazy.
It's like criminals have rights. And that's what's like, they can break in your stuff, and you can't.
I should have a,
can't do nothing to them, or they can sue you. You know,
I should have a right to open up
do something.
A can of whoop ass if you, like, steal or damage my property or steal. And I catch you in the act. I understand if I catch you later, then it's like, all right, now that's like a premeditated, now your retaliation thing and all that. But really,
right.
You know what I mean? The police ain't going to do nothing. I should have a right to beat your ass if you stole my stuff. And even if I don't catch you at that time, if we understand the law don't work that way. All right, well, can you at least then take it more serious when I report this stuff so then I don't have to take matters into my own hands? You feel me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's why I say I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm not conservative or liberal because I know some of my views are liberal and I know some are conservative. Like, I can agree with both. And depending on what set of circumstances we're talking about, that's why I say, no, I'm independent. I'm not Democratic, not Republican. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm not liberal. I'm not conservative. I'm on the side of what's right versus what's wrong. You know, but I definitely do would like us to have a higher police presence and to have, you know, better psychological evaluation, so we won't have these, like, so many bad seeds on the force. So it's less of those cases happen. We understand human nature kicks in, and you're going to always, you might have a good person that made a bad decision on the wrong day and cost somebody their life, and that person needs to be prosecuted, and you see, well, we understand that's going to happen, but we don't want, like, no, let's say, straight-up racist that was posting racist stuff on their social media back in 2011, and we don't find that out until an innocent, unarmed black man end up with 7 bullets in him for no reason. You know what I mean? So we need to better psychological evaluations and thorough background checks and to try to do everything you can to ensure that you won't have no psychos, racists, or hidden agenda people on the force. But then aside from that, we need better pay, better benefits, more appreciation. You know what I mean? Like, why can't we have, like, days where let's just say, like, a cookout, like, you know, type of thing where, like, the local law enforcement come, meet and greets with food, gangs, where we all play these games together, shake hands, have the local law enforcement there, introducing themselves to my office, better than I patrol this area to this area. Do you have any questions or concerns? You know, this is my, you know, this is how long I've been doing this. I'm into this. This is the type of life stuff I'm into, but I'm off. I'm a regular guy just like you guys. I'm here to protect you guys. I'm on your side, not to hurt you. I want to know your name. So if I see a child walking the street, instead of saying, hey, come here, you, it's like, hey, Brandon, you know, I know your mom.
Right.
So, yeah, she a teacher at the school, and you're supposed to be at school right now. Don't make me call your mom. Like, we know you. We We familiar. We break bread together. Like, have stuff like that where, like, it's with introductions, you know what I mean, and interactions and peace treaties. So it's no fair. It's like, oh, I know this. We met at the last event, you know what I mean, where the local citizens of the neighborhood met and greet with the police, and it was all good. And we know each other. I know Officer Williams when I see him now. You know what I mean? I know the chief. I can, you know what I mean? You know, we got this. We have this understanding between each other. We have, you know what I mean? We built this bridge, and now it's all good. And when there's a criminal or outsider, we understand, hey, I don't know that person. The officer doesn't know that person. Hey, you know that person? No, me neither. No, that person, okay. Oh, look, that person is breaking into people's cars around here. They're not even from around here. What they're doing around here? And you know what I mean? Like, we're on the same side with the police, and the outsiders, we're all against them together. See what I'm saying? They just want to get less of those types of things happening. You see what I'm saying? Did that make sense, Bobby?
That would be great. It makes a lot of sense. See, and it's so funny that you said that, because I believe back in the days it was more like that in certain other neighborhoods. Like, a lot of the white neighborhoods and other neighborhoods,
I think so too.
More, they knew the officers. Officers knew people. They was cool. So they knew who lived in the neighborhood and who didn't and things like that. When they saw somebody new, that they was, you know, they didn't know. We're not saying they were suspect, but they knew that person wasn't or from around there or knew over there. Because, you know, I watch a lot of like, have you ever seen West Side Story? Like, the officers knew these guys. The officers knew these guys. Like, hey, you know, they're calling them by name. Hey, you know, these guys were, they got in themselves in a little trouble here and there. It was kind of like rowdy kids. I ain't going to say bad, but rowdy. But the officers were like, talk to them. Hey, you know, hey, get over here, so-and-so, and, you know, make, you know, and don't do that again. Make sure, you know, they would talk to the kids, you know, talk to them, keep them in line, all that stuff. When they was about to fight and things like that, you know, they would, you know, they would talk to them, the officers, you know, keep them in line, but then they kept it moving, make sure that they, you know, they wasn't going to, you know, nothing would, like, you know, jump off, you know. So that was like, and that was cool. But, you know, that's the way it should be in communities. Need to, like, neighborhoods or areas, certain areas, locations, they should be more friendly to each other. They should have, like, where everybody in the block come out at some type of event to get to know each other, get to know the police officer, also get to know them, and let them know that,
right,
I'm so-and-so, I patrol your neighborhood, so I want you guys to know.
And how great would that be?
Know,
tell me you wouldn't be more comfortable if you get pulled over by that officer that you was at an event with just 2 weeks ago, and you remember the officer from the event.
And they ain't gonna meet. That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, I know each other. Hey, I want to meet from the event. You know, it'd be like a, you know, it'd be more, it'd be way better. Because now y'all know each other, you know.
Oh, I remember you. Our kids actually go to school together. Wow, what's up, man? Oh, hey, okay, yeah. I see you had a broken chair.
Right.
Like, I was just, you know, I want you to be safe, you know. But you know they got an event at the school next week.
Problem.
You gonna go? I'm going. Okay, yeah, cool. Shake hands. I'll catch you around, man. Be safe out here. Just imagine,
right,
how that could change everything. And we understand that, like,
yeah,
it's unrealistic to think, oh, we can just get all the officers and all at one time. No, but I'm just saying, like, something, because you still gotta have officers available. You can't have all the officers at an event, right? Realistically, but let's say you have a certain,
right,
amount. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, have it every so often. And within 1 year, all of the officers would be introduced to the where they patrol. Do we understand officers sometimes have to switch areas and all that stuff? But I'm saying, trial and error, you start and you build it, you work it out, you work out the kinks, you make it better and more efficient, and you just would have so much less of this stuff. But, you know, I don't know, man. It could be done a lot better. The policing could be done a lot better. We do have to admit that. That's part of the problem. And it's not really just so much of the patrol officers as it is the higher officers making the decisions. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not,
right,
it's like
that's
the higher up makes the, and Yeah, and the local officials and stuff, you know, of the districts and of the cities and states and stuff make these decisions, you know what I mean? So we have to pay attention to that, you know what I mean? I also think that any laws that's being placed, all the citizens should know about it. We should all get PSAs. It should, you know, you should be able to turn on the TV and find out whenever there's a, they could make a dedicated channel to, like, this is about just teaching everybody of this district, these or this local jurisdiction or whatever, like, these are the laws of the, these are of this area. Because, you know, there's different laws in different states and all jurisdictions and stuff. Well, these are the laws. These are what's being passed. This is the history of this neighborhood. Like, just 24/7 coverage of different stuff. You should be able to easily and conveniently understand every law. It shouldn't be a case where you break a law and you don't even understand that that's a law. Like, there's so much stuff that could be done better. We don't get taught the law the right way. It should start from, like, grade school. And it should be mandatory. Like, starting from, like, elementary school, running and understanding the laws of what's breaking the law, the difference from first degree to second degree, that, low-level crimes, blue-collar, white-collar, you know, all of that.
What do you think about this, though?
Like, everything. Like, we should be putting you shouldn't have to go to college and have to try to be become some type of law enforcement or lawyer to understand the laws, you know, of your jurisdiction.
Right.
Like, it's kind of crazy to think about it.
But what do you think about this? Before a bill is passed, that a bill that has to do with, like you said, your jurisdiction, what if they had a meeting where before the bill gets passed that they talk to the people about this bill and what and get the people's response on that bill?
Yeah, it should be the citizens should have to, like, get a vote on doing the laws, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, you know, the state representatives or whatever. And then also the people, the citizens say, do you oppose, are you a yay or no to this? Like, you agree or disagree with this law? This is for the, you know, for to protect you and yours, you know what I mean? These are, like, as far as the criminal, at least the criminal. You understand, civil is a whole separate monster, right? At least the criminal. See, the civil, you can, we'll have, like, a site and all that stuff that's conveniently mapped out, put in your zip code, your area and everything, your address, and we can tell you what the laws are. Boom, it'll pop right up all the laws and local stuff that you can understand, the do's and don'ts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
as far as criminal, everyone has a right to know and understand what is considered criminal and what's not. And what, like, you know, are the specifics, you know what I mean? Like, it should be understood. Like, it should just be totally understood. It should be totally understood. Like, you should at least have that. Like, it shouldn't be hard. Like, because I did that before. I was like, man, like, where did you even go? Like, if I'm trying to find out the laws of, like, where I live, I'm like, there's no convenient way of just what's different from B-more as opposed to NY or a certain law. We know the laws ain't the same, and I'd be, oh, well, if you could come up with a gun here, this is open carry versus concealed. But if, you know what I mean, if the bullets are in versus no bullets, you might get jail time if you, like, we need to understand the specifics. Do I have a right to bear arms if I don't have a license? And in what situation? I live in a high crime area. What if somebody threatened my life? What if I don't have a gun license, but this person said when they see me, it's on, and you know what I mean? They send a gun emoji to my phone. When I see what's on, they send a gun emoji. I know I got this person lives close to me. And this person is basically, call the police. What? Protective restraining order? Okay. Maybe y'all lock them up for harassment or threats. Maybe it's a civil thing and I got to go to the protective order. I'm just saying, I don't have a right to bear arms. Tell me why and how. Tell me everything, the whole list. Run it down. I should be able to conveniently say, all right, well, in order to protect myself, this is what I can do. If I try to go ask an attorney, you got to pay for information.
Right.
Just pay to play. I might got to pay $50, $100, $200 an hour to sit with an attorney. What can I do? What's legal? What's not? That should automatically be like free information that's convenient. How do I protect myself? I still live here. I can't just up and move every time something happens. Like, can I bear arms or not? This person threatening my life. In what situation can I defend myself with lethal force because this person threatened my life? Anybody should have the right to know and understand, have access to that information. Because if I, and now I'm getting locked up, and this dude is threatening me on social media directly to my phone, is that right? When I see this dude,
no.
I let off before he let off, or I do whatever before he do whatever. And there are people in that situation every day. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Like, you know, everything you said is 100% right. Sometimes you got to pay just for a lawyer to tell you what to do. But the thing is, you can also YouTube it. YouTube has, like, pretty much everything. You can get the answers. You can find groups.
No. You can. You can find, let me stop that, because you can find this, but you're not going to get the specific, like, all right, like, what I'm saying, like, this thing local law to my, where I live at, you're not going to necessarily find that. Maybe, let's say you live in New York or Los Angeles, somewhere that's got millions and millions of people where you might have access to more information. If you live in, like, let's say Rhode Island, even be more. Like, it's not going to be a lot of specific, dedicated information to crime, the laws and stuff of that. Like, this should be the state. Like, they should automatically make that. You understand what I'm saying? Easy to access information.
Like, you know how they have the lawyer groups and law groups on social media? Like, you can ask the question you need, and someone can answer you there, too. Like, where you're not physically talking to a lawyer.
I've seen those. I've seen those. You post something and somebody eventually probably respond or whatever. But what
right.
I'm talking about,
so you may
it's like
get the answer you want.
Yeah,
right.
You might get a direct answer to a direct question. If I got 15 questions, good luck trying to get all of those questions answered versus like if there is a whole, what I'm saying is resource to the information. Every person, every citizen should have rights to access to the information of the laws, because if I break this law, y'all gonna come lock me up. Now, we understand, like, robbing is robbing and killing is killing. We don't need to break. We understand that. But we're talking about other stuff, like the scenario I just explained, like self-defense and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Even, like,
well,
the tax evasion, it's confusing. Like, you make money and then, you get somehow caught up in the taxes and you ain't know how to file your taxes properly. And now you go and look and you're getting locked up. Like, it's like, yo, what? Like, you understood, that's one thing. But a lot of people don't even understand. You think a lot of these know that they're breaking the law and they're going to go to jail and do it anyway? No. Sometimes they don't even know. Sometimes an accountant wasn't doing what they're supposed to do. Like, we need access to all this information. It shouldn't be difficult to find.
And you can get the access. See, that's what I'm saying. People, depending on what state you live, always look at your city or your state law code or police book, police code conduct, the police law. They have apps on your – you can go get it free on your app store, on your phone, and put in your city or state, Baltimore police code. You know, they tell you the laws for that state, New York law code, police law code. They got those. Like, they literally got those. But a lot of people don't know. And you have to – and they have the laws. Like, you know what I mean? So you can get that for free. Like, you literally can get that. I found that out a while back. So that's how I know. But I actually got some apps on mine. You can get the New York Law Code. You can get the Constitution. Everything in an app, on apps free. But you can find your state, New York Law Code, Baltimore Law Code, Philly, whatever state you live in. you can get the police law. Now, and learn about where you live at, so you know the code for that. So if a police officer approach you and you know the law and they come at you sideways and you know that that's wrong, then you can break down the you know, this code, section so-and-so, state that, blah, blah, blah. Let them know. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, but that's probably not a good idea for a black person, though. Like, we understand you piss the law, piss the police off. It's better than just like, all right, officer, I hear you. Okay. Look, deal with
I'm not saying argue.
Don't sit there trying to be confrontational with the police.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
I don't know about that one. I mean, you got a right to do it, but we understand how those things turn out, though, you know.
But I will say this. Whenever you tell them that, once you show them you know the law, they back up. Because now they figure that, because a lot of times they do what they do because they figure that people don't know the law code. So they figure they can do whatever. You're not going to know the law code, what they're violating. So they do it. So then when you tell them you know what they're doing, they back off. They be like, oh, this guy knows he's presented. He pulls this in court on a lawyer. You know, he violated section so-and-so, code this and that. They're going to already know that. Oh, okay, I better chill out. If I'm going to arrest this guy, arrest him for whatever, but if not, I better leave him alone.
That's the truth to that. Like, you know, we've seen them sometimes like, all right, this person knows the stuff. But I think that works more for white people. When it comes to black people and you having that mouth, yeah, the right officer, a lot of times the officer might stand down a little bit like, this ain't worth it. This ain't worth all the trouble. Look, just go ahead. But you might get that officer that's pissed off. Like, look, get out the – we covered this stuff. We seen the guy that was like, look, I know my rights. I ain't got to get out there. Look, I'm going to ask you one more time to step out. Look, officer, undercover, blah, 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 blah. Boom! Window busted, dragging him out there, hit nightstick to the head, knee in the gut, you know, hands behind your back, you're going to jail. We understand how it could turn like that. So while there's some truth to what you're saying, that could jeopardize your safety. You know what I mean? Especially as a black man. So you have to tread lightly when it comes to stuff like that. And that's part of the problem when it comes to law enforcement, those bad seeds and the ones that's just like, you know, I'm on top of the world, I'm a cop. You shut up and listen and do what I tell you to do. They have some of those. Those ones on the force that we need to get out of there. And a lot of times it's not going to happen until somebody catches it on camera and somebody does something like that, and that officer just get suspended most of the time with pay and move to a different area or something like that, or, you know what I mean, that's work duty for a few months. No, job loss if you assault that person, arrested. Like, you know what I mean? So that's part of the problem. Like, I see what you're saying, but we got to remember this is, you know, we black people at the end of the day, and that don't go too well with us. It's good to know it, but if you're going to think you're going to rub that into an officer's face, especially one of those white officers who feel like, you know, super patriotic and look, like, you're not going to tell me how to do my job, boy, one of those, yeah.
Right.
Like, is it worth the risk of running to that officer and telling that officer about what you know about the law? I don't know. I think if you comply, it's a better chance of you making it home safe. That's my only thing with that. Unfortunately, that's the type of times we're living in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing about that.
You're right. You're right about that. It all depends on the officer, too.
Yeah, it depends. You got to ask yourself, is it worth the gamble? That's up for you to decide. If you're going to take that gamble, you're not having it that day. I mean, hey, black power to you. You just be ready for what might come with it. You just never know how it might pay out. Try to make a home for your family. That's all I can say. Try to make sure you make a home for your family.
Right.
You know, you can always sue, you can record, and you can, you know, maybe your video goes viral, or maybe you can get a lawsuit or something once you get the proof or whatever. You know what I mean?
Saying makes sense. But you know what you could do? If an officer is violating your rights, you can just say, okay, all right, I don't agree to what you're doing. I don't consent to that. You don't have to tell them the law codes. you could just say it's not on green. You may know it, but just don't speak on it until you get, you know, until you speak to a lawyer or you get into a situation where you're in court. If you get arrested or if you get a ticket and you go to court, then you bring up whatever. I see what you're saying.
It definitely ain't worth it over a ticket. Just take the ticket and deal with it at court. It ain't worth getting into a confrontation with an officer over. I mean, you can say, officer, I disagree. Like, how? Like, what do you mean? Like, all right, officer, you know what? All right. All right, I'll just deal with it in court. Don't go back and forth. Right. It's not worth it.
All right. It's really
like, I've seen white people get pulled over, right? You probably seen this. And the police talking to him, and the white guy is just like, I don't answer questions. And every time the officer says something, he says, I don't answer questions. I don't answer questions.
I saw a video on that.
And I'm going about their way, and it's like, okay, well, what can I really do? Or they might call lieutenant whoever's over top of them to come and try to handle the situation. And now, a black person trying to do that, yeah, we know how that might play totally different. I don't answer questions. I don't answer questions. Look, I'm going to ask you one more time. Remember that guy they sprayed with the mace? Maced them and, like, forced them out of his car? I seen this video where the black man kept telling the officer, he stepped out of the vehicle, the officer said. The civilian being pulled over told him he's a paraplegic. He can't do that. He has to wait for someone to come and help. He called somebody. He said he's asking for them to come and help him out there. They're right close, and they're going to come help him out the vehicle. He is paralyzed. He cannot step out of the vehicle. And the officer's like, look, I'm not going to keep asking you. Get out of the vehicle. So he's like, all right, I don't care if you can step or not. Find a way out of this vehicle. I'm not going to keep asking you. Do you know this officer got irritated and yanked him out of the vehicle and threw him to the ground? He said, hey, man, you can hurt me. He said, man, you could really, really hurt me. You can't just pull me out. Officer wasn't trying to hear it. He pulled him out, threw him to the ground. The man was screaming in agony. Paralyzed.
Wow.
Black man.
Wow.
Put him to the ground.
Wow.
And if my memory serves me correctly, I think probably arrested him. Put his hands behind his back and put the cuffs on. Didn't care nothing about taking care of him because he's paralyzed. Didn't matter to him. It didn't matter.
Wow.
See what I'm saying? Like, we've seen people on the ground with their hands up and still get shot. We understand these things happen, so that's the problem with, you know what I mean? That's the only thing about that. And these are, like, the bad scenes that we've been talking about. Now, as far as what you were saying, I understand what you're saying. But even, like, I'm not saying the information doesn't exist. I'm saying it should be convenient. Like, it shouldn't be hard. Like, I'm a pretty computer savvy person. I'm not computer whiz. I don't work on computers. I don't, you know, take viruses off or know how to hack. I'm not that in that. But I know how to do all the basics of the basics.
Right?
Just the basic level computer stuff I know how to do. Been doing this since computers really, really, really took off in like the mid to late 90s when it was Windows 98 and all that, and computers started really becoming a thing in local homes. So I'm not new to this. When I type in local laws to my city, which is Baltimore, and I look it up, I'm finding little stuff. You know what I'm finding? Okay, like, all right, duty to retreat, the Castro Doctrine, okay. Little stuff, but then it's like little, you know what I'm getting from? It's not the state website. It's the law firms that's posting a little information here and there. It's like, all right, you want to find out more? Call us. Call the lawyer's office so we can bill you and give you more information to what you, man, what? I need information, point blank.
Right.
Easy, accessible. And not everybody's great with, like, this high, like, vocabulary and all this stuff. Stuff should be broken down in layman's terms for people, citizens. I stand firm on that to understand the laws of their area and know how to get about in their area so they won't risk going to jail off of sheer ignorance. I'm talking about real ignorance. Not like, you know how you just call somebody ignorant because you think they're, just being spiteful or hateful, being an asshole. No, I mean the dictionary definition, what's this ignorance? don't even know. You don't understand. You don't know no better. Naive, that ignorance. You know what I mean? Because I always think of that's like one of the worst ways to go to jail. I went to jail because that book of law I didn't even know existed. What? This is a law? This is a crime? I just broke the law? I didn't even know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, but aside from that, now I'm glad we got the chance to break that, to get into that, because we agree so much. It's so rare that we disagree. It's good to see us be able to disagree and have a discussion. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Because it's so rare because we're on the same page so much.
Right.
You know, somebody want to speak. Somebody want to speak. All right. Area code 314.
You know, I've been listening to your discussion. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like today that all the blame and weight is put on the police officer. But what about the people in the public? You are faced today with a culture that don't want to listen or comply. And that amplifies things. Then you got this council culture, because I was reading about this police officer in Norfolk, Virginia, Police Department. William Kelly, he's a white officer. And the city manager, Chip Fowler, and the black chief, Larry Boone, they fired him. Why is that? Because on his own time, at his own home, on his own computer, he went to a GoFundMe site and contributed to the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. And it's stuff like that that goes on. That's not supposed to be. And, you know, finally, and you already hit on it, people look at it as if there is a national police department. It's not. There's over 14,000 police authorities across the country. And each and every one of them, like you just got through mentioning, someone did, that they're controlled by that municipality for which they work for. And the people of that municipality supposed to control them. What's your opinion?
I agree with what you just said. I totally agree. The people are supposed to control them. Yeah, I agree. And the people should have a say. They should definitely have a say, because, you know, we public officials are supposed to protect and serve the people, serve the public. So, you know, so the people definitely should have a say on anything that has to do with policing their jurisdiction, you know. And also, police should not be defunded. Only the bad cops should be dealt with individually.
Individually,
right. And officers.
And what about people don't comply? Because if you went home to a wife every day and she's nagging, and she's complaining and accusing you of something, sooner or later that's going to set in. And you're going to get used of it and tired of it. But nowadays you got public, people in the public, especially among certain groups, that just don't want to comply. You can't have court on the street.
It's not worth it. We were just talking about this. It's not worth the confrontation with a law enforcement officer. Like, you know, if you have a disagreement or whatever, you feel like your rights are violated, you can voice your opinion, but do so in a calm fashion and don't go too far into it, because there's court for that. It's not worth this big thing that's escalating at the end of the day. At the moment, the gun and the badge, you're the one that could get hurt or killed in that situation. Like, it's not worth it. Just chill. Stay calm. You know, you have the right to ask for their, like, lieutenant or whoever is the sergeant, whoever, to come and, you know, say a little more details of what's happening or why it's happening or whatever. have somebody film it with their phone or whatever, but it's not, or your phone, but it's not worth getting into the big altercation over, because that we see that those things typically don't go well, and it's just, it's not worth it. And if, let's say, for instance, somebody pulls you over, there's a, they say it's a broken tail light, and you get into this big fuss. It's not worth it. All right, officer, my broken tail light broken. Okay, I'll at least get to this whole, oh, you pulled me over because I'm black, huh? Man, you pulled me over because I'm black. Man, F you, F out of here. I'm not, no, just chill. So I see what the officer has to say. He might just write you a little citation. You can go on about it. It's not worth getting into this big thing that could turn ugly.
You're absolutely right. And you see, like, for instance, in Minneapolis there around 8th and Chicago where George Floyd got killed, I read an article where a person, a woman, had a domestic case going on. She called the dispatcher, called the police. Dispatcher told her that you're going to have to meet the police three blocks down because they don't come up to that area no more. Because just like what you said, it's not worth it. The people there just get beyond themselves. And that's what you're starting to find out. Unfortunately, but that's true. And you know another thing, too? They're starting to use these cameras, especially at the red light. You argue with the cop, now argue with that video that caught you running and not coming to a proper stop.
Right.
Yeah, we deal with, I deal with that a lot in my city. You know, yeah.
But I agree that that people really need to learn how to speak when approached by an officer. And I agree with you, sir. There are a lot of people who disrespect the law. They don't know how to speak to them with respect. And that's good. If you talk to an officer with respect, 9 out of 10 times, there won't be an altercation. There won't be something that happens. 9 out of 10 times. You know,
especially with these body cameras. Now, most jurisdictions have mandatory body cameras on at all times, you know, for the most part, unless the officer turns it off, you know, like, so if you conduct yourself in a calm and mild manner, it's a lot less likely that something real bad is going to break out. You answer every question and you stay calm. Now the officer really has no ground, no leg to stand on as far as being overly aggressive and hurting you or killing you. They won't have a leg to stand on, and they will be less likely to do that. But then you always have those few bad seasons. Like, this is just a bad person with a gun and a badge, and those are the ones that's unfortunate, and those are the ones that we need to get, that we need rid of. We need them gone. We need them out of the force. If they hurt or kill somebody, locked up, the keys are rolling away. But aside from that, we need to understand the situation, stay calm, have respect. And I have more than respect. I have admiration for anybody to put on that gun in that badge. So I'm like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, officer, I hope you make it home safe. You know, I understand you pulled me over. I'm not going to get all out of character. I understand that might not go well for me. I could go to jail or worse. It's not worth it. I just chill, stay calm. And I can say in my life, there was only, like, one time I can remember where I was like, no, this officer just ain't care. This dude is a straight racist. And that's all there was to it. And aside from me bowing down and kissing his feet, he was going to say some stuff to me that I didn't appreciate, and I wasn't going to go for that. And so it went how it went. But aside from that, for the most part, like, you know, if you stay calm and collected, like, you know, you can make it home safe. And that's the most important part. And you deal with the rest, you know, through the legal system.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing, too, a lot of these young people today, just the nature of the society, they come up where they don't have respect for authority at home. They don't have respect for authority in the school. Then, quite natural, it plays out in the street.
That's
and hopefully,
true.
Hopefully that will change, because there is so much that's completely out of order. And so much that has you shaking your head going on today that you never would have thought of that you would see. You guys have a nice day.
Oh, I appreciate
you so much, sir. Appreciate you.
I can't say disagree. Like, I'm not.
Hey, he's right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we here in solidarity with police. You know what I mean? Rid the bad seeds. And some people think every officer is a great. Now, how ignorant of a person do you have to be to think every person that puts on that gun and badge every day is a great person? But we understand most of them are great people. You know what I mean? But there are some bad oranges, some bad apples in anything. It don't matter. Politics, sports, law enforcement, Hollywood, whatever you name. Because they have a gun and a badge, we have to put a spotlight on that. You know what I mean? And we have to air that out. Because guess what? If we don't, then our sons and daughters that have to go into the world end up getting approached and having to deal with these monsters. And that can be our loved ones. That's the next viral video. So we can't have that. Aside from that, we understand they're far and few, right? So aside from those ones, yeah, she's right. Like, you have some respect for authority because, first of all, you're in a lose-lose situation. Second of all, that's something that should be learned from starting at home anyway. Now, I just had a situation at my son's school where the kid came and called me by my first name. Okay? He come and, hey, Tay. Right? So the first time, I let it slide. I just let it ride, right? I let it ride. Then he called me by my name again. And I had to tell him, I said, hey, you know, I'm an adult. Me and your parent might be the same age. I might be older than your parent because you're my son's age. I might be older. Some people have children at young ages. I had my child.
Right.
I was already 30 when I had my child. It's a good chance that I might be older than your parent. Nonetheless,
right.
You know, you're between the ages of 6 and 7, don't call me by my first name. You have to call me Mister. And you call me Mister after
there
that. I understood. I wasn't mad at him. I understood because you could tell that was just natural for him to call adults by their first name. But nobody should be raising their children to call people by their adults by their first names. That just
So you did the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta learn somewhere.
And he didn't get, like, real defensive or nothing. Even a child that young understood, you can almost see, like, him, like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. He didn't say, I'm sorry, sir, but the way he responded was, like, I'm sorry, sir. Like, I understand I'm a child and you're an adult. And I'm like, this is probably a good kid that just don't know no better because he didn't get taught. So he probably called all the people in the neighborhood by their first name. He called all the cousins and stuff, anybody that's not an aunt or uncle. Like, the older cousin stuff in the family. That's why, like, you know, I'm like, hey, call them cousin such and such. Not by their first name. I'm still an adult, right? You know what I mean? Some people want to be called by their first name. If they do, then you understand, because tradition is tradition, right? If an adult says, hey, don't call me Mister, because I can't accept the fact that I'm older, so I want to still feel young, so call me by, then okay, so be it. But still, any adult that didn't give you permission to call them by their first name, don't, because respect for authority and, you know, respect the general starts at home. And when it's understood at home, and we teach our sons and daughters, have respect for authority, approach people with respect, talk with people with respect. When you're approached by law enforcement, understand that you're at a disadvantage. Stay calm. Speak to them, call them officer. Stay calm, you know. Stay, just chill, take a deep breath, answer every question, even if you feel as though you have a right to not answer that question. It's not worth it. Answer the question unless it's incriminating. Anything that's not, like, something that's incriminating, like there was a shooting and I understand that you were in the area, I don't know nothing about that. I can't answer nothing about that. I don't have no comment. Aside from that, anything as far as, like, I'm pulling you over because of I was just chilling, you know, you can go ahead, can I have your license and registration? Why is that a confrontation? Here, yes, you can. Anything aside from that's here, you're asking for a problem. What you think, Bobby?
Yeah, Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I said, and I agree with the guy, the caller who just called in for sure, a while ago. You have to learn how to speak to police, to authority respectfully, because you don't know what can happen. I remember one time I was with someone I used to hang out with, an old friend, and we were wrong. This was back when I was younger. We were wrong. We was drinking beer. We was smoking weed and all that stuff. And, you know, cops rolled up on us, right? And all they told us to do was to put the weed out, you know, first of all, put it out and put the beer down. My friend wanted to start arguing with the cop. And like, why it's mine? Why I got to do jack? I pay for this. He's getting off. He knows he was wrong. And you know what I'm saying? But he did. I was the one like trying to, like, yo, what are you doing? Yo, chill out. Like, just, like, yo, you got to do some more stuff. You got to escalate this. And I was like, I didn't say nothing in front of the cop like that, but I was looking at him like, yo, what are you doing? Like, you know, and then they wrote him up. They, now he got a ticket, you know, and had to, you know, report. I didn't get written up because I was being like, you know, respectful, you know, so they didn't do nothing with me. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if you, sometimes when you just cool, you know, this was back when I was young. This was back in the 90s. So, you know, we was young, just doing young boy stuff, you know. But because he was running his mouth and trying to, you know, act with the police, then, you know, he got a stiffer, you know, he got written up. He got a ticket. You know, he lucky he didn't get arrested. So, yeah. You know, so, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be cool. I remember one time I was driving, right, and there was a street that used to be two-way. Right, it was two-way on one end, on like one side of Pennsylvania Avenue, but then in Brooklyn. But then when we went across, it was now one-way, right? But I didn't know that they changed it like that. You used to just drive straight down, but they changed it. And when I drove across, then I noticed the sign. I passed it, you know. And then I know all the cars was, it was still a big street. You know, it was still wide enough for me to pull over to the right. I stayed on the right. But then what happened was the police saw me. And guys were trying to tell me, like, yo, go, keep going. Like, yo, you know, go. The cops are coming. Like, you're trying to get me to drive off and go into this wild chase. I said, no. Guys that saw me driving, there wasn't nobody in my vehicle but me. But when the cops came and I see lights come on, I pulled over, I showed them my license, I was good, you know, everything was good. And I said, I'm sorry, officers, I didn't know that they changed this to a one-way. I'll keep this in mind next time. You know, so I didn't know, I'm not drunk or nothing like that. And, you know, I wasn't drinking, you know what I'm saying, I wasn't drunk, I was drinking, I don't do that. But anyway, so they just said, all right, we'll just turn the car around and, you know, go another way, wherever we are. And I was like, thank you, officer. I never got a ticket because I spoke to them. I spoke to them like human beings. Like, I kept it real. I wasn't going to lie. It was the truth. Like, I was wrong. I went across Pennsylvania and the street turned one way. And I seen the cars. You know, the headlights, it was at night, too. I seen the headlights all facing me. I was like, oh, let me pull over. So, and yeah, so, but I was, the bottom line at the end of the day is I was cool with the officers, and they let me go. They knew I was telling the truth, and I was respectful. I talked to them with respect, and, you know, and I was cool. So there's good officers out there. They see you messed up, they're like, they give you a break. They didn't want to take me in for nothing like that. They ain't write me up or nothing. I was good to go, and I was thanking. Yeah, a lot of times I got approached by police and got, because I know how to speak to them, and I didn't know anything about the law code and all this stuff to break that back then. I just was honest. I just kept it real and I was respectful. And sometimes just be acknowledging them, hey, or how you doing, officer, whatever the case may be, or I'm sorry, you know, officer, you know, you message, hey, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know that. I told them, like, I didn't know that they changed the, the way, the direction of traffic. You know what I mean? To one way and all that, and I was good to go. I was good to go. So that's what I'm saying. And then some people. Now, if you know you're in the right, still, if you know you're in the right, if you got pulled over for speeding, find out what the reason is, and then still talk to them. You always got to find common ground, like in a situation like that. You got to try to find, first of all, you got to be respectful, and you got to always try
you
to
have to be respectful.
Try to work it out.
You have to. You have to. It's not worth it.
Because
you have to.
Because you're in a situation where they can decide what they want to do to you based on how you react to them. So that's why, if you
they might get disciplined or lose their job, but you could lose your life.
There you go.
And a trip to Central Brooklyn ain't fun. And at the very least, they can do that. Even that is not
that
fun, especially if you end up with a bed. You got
to
sit there, and you got to go upstairs, and you got to take a shower and be around actual real criminals. And who want to deal with that? And you might have to miss work and expand to your job. And who wants to deal with that? It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Thank you. It's really not.
Yeah, man, So, I guess with that said, man, as we're getting ready to wrap up, again, this discussion, because we've had plenty of police brutality discussions, you can go through our archives and see where we covered, like George Floyd and all this other stuff that's happened, and we speak highly and stand against crooked police, criminals with a gun and a badge, but we stand in solidarity with the officers who do their job the right way and just want to really help. Because we understand most of the time if you become a cop, it's not for the money, because the money ain't worth it considering what you deal with and the fact that you're risking your life, so we have to have respect and admiration for these brave men and women, and they're the ones that can save our lives. You're in a home invasion situation. Who do you think I'm going to save you? You going to call your boys
up?
Like, what are you going to do? If you ain't connected like that, if you ain't got some real thorough people in your family and in your circle that's built like that, and even you still got to watch that, because if you could go to jail for pretty much ordering a hit on somebody because you feel like this is how you're going to retaliate. Because this, no snitching, stop snitching, don't talk, don't cooperate stuff. And did you think you're going to go retaliate and pull a hit on somebody that did something to you and yours? Guess what? You're going to jail if they find out. So even with that, like, if you're a criminal and you're going to be so-called thug, gangster, mobster, we understand that's the life you live. You're probably a savage that should be locked away and thrown the key thrown away anyway, because savages should be on an island with other savages. Like, y'all should all be in one area together. Like, the savages should not be mixed in with good people, law-abiding citizens who don't want no problems. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you aren't one of those people and you don't consider yourself cut from that cloth, it's only one thing you can do. Call the authorities and do what you got to do to protect you and yours. And because the other ones are going to come protect you, have some, appreciation and respect. And even if you feel as though you're being approached in an unfair manner, just comply. Make it home to your friends, family, and kids, right? You can go back to work and stuff and continue on with your day in your life and just comply, and more than likely you'll be okay. But, again, we understand that some people adopt a bad hand. They get that one officer who just, for that reason, that day, they're showing their true colors and they're really just a pretty much garbage with a gun and a badge, a horrible person, a savage, a criminal, a ruthless person. And hopefully that, you know, you don't have to run into that person, because we understand it might not be nothing you could do. Like, for instance, let me see your registration. Okay, here. What are you doing? Boom, boom, boom. That person should be locked away life, you know what I mean, if not the death sentence. We understand that, right? But aside from those ones who do stuff like that, you know what I mean, they're there for us. Let's appreciate them. You know, let's comply. You know what I mean? Let's all stand together to help make this country and this world a better place by, like, just respecting one another and doing the right thing and flipping this thing around. We all want to live. We understand life is short, and we want to live as much of it as possible. Tomorrow's not promised. That's just a messed up way to go by the people that's supposed to protect you. But don't cause a situation that, even if it's right or wrong, don't be the cause of a situation getting to that point. It's not worth it. Just chill, comply. And there's a good chance that you'll make it home and not get arrested, and what they say, without further incident. You know, and that's what it's all about. That's what we're pushing for. That's what we're trying to program into your minds. You know what I mean? We with you with the marching and standing together and not going for the BS, right? But there's a way to handle things. We need to take the legal route, because we want you to make it home. That's what it's all about. Bobby?
Yes, sir. That is a fact.
I give you the final word.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so that was awesome, and I totally agree with everything. I was 100. Basically, once again, I can't, like, state this enough. You guys, listen to what Tay just said. Listen to what he just said. When you're approached by an officer, the first thing you want to do is humble yourself. Humble yourself now. Just stay humble. Relax. Stay calm, cool. Don't get, you know, upset. Don't get frustrated. Don't get angry. And, you know, and don't get tough. Don't turn into Mr. Tough Guy or Tough Girl. Just stay humble and talk to them like a human being. Plead your case. Tell them whatever you need to tell them, but stay humble. If you don't agree with something, say, I don't agree to that. But whatever you do, just keep it humble, and chances are 9 out of 10 times you will get home to your loved ones, your kids, your family, and all that. So just try to do the right thing. All right. So that being said, wish you guys all the best, man. You know, prayers up, man.
Yeah.
So,
we're going to have to definitely do one about the whole snitching thing, because that's a whole conversation within itself about the whole no snitching. I want to cover that before the year is out. Like, I got a lot to say about the whole thing. You know what I mean? Of course, circumstances matter and all that stuff, but we want to definitely get into that, because I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick of like some of the things in our culture, and you know what I mean? The things that make our community a worse place and a more unsafe place for the kids and stuff. So we'll have that discussion on a separate show. But that's that, man. This is K-Real and Bobby G, man. It's Real Talk Radio. We will see y'all next time. We out. Enjoy your weekend. Peace.